Got a couple of things here. Working on this message, I've been coming up with things. I come up with notes. So we have a choice today. I have 22 notes, pages of notes, or I have 3 pages of notes. Which one should I use?
21.
The little one, I'm going to use it. Okay? What I want to do today is I want to talk about one of the stories. There's a lot of stories in the Bible about people's lives and about people, things that happen. And sometimes you just don't know about what's going to happen. And the great thing is we know because we've read what takes place. And so what I want to do is I want to talk about a person today. Who I'm going to talk about is Jacob. Now, Jacob's mom, she was having trouble getting pregnant. And she went along, and then she got pregnant. And when she got pregnant, it was excitement, but pretty soon she felt like there was something not quite right in what was going on. She didn't feel quite right about it. There was rumblings in her stomach. And they didn't have doctors and they didn't have hospitals back then. And so she went to a guy for spiritual guidance. And the Genesis 25:23 says, "The Lord said to her, 2 nations are in your womb. And 2 people from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." So what's the first part of the message? Congratulations, it's twins. Congratulations, it's twins. Now, how many of you know twins? Going to school, I got thinking about that this morning on the way in. I thought, well, we had 2 sets of twins. And then it was like, oh, wait a minute. No, we had 3 sets of twins. No, we had 4 sets of twins in my class. Two of them were identical twins, and then what do they call the?
Fraternal.
You had 2 sets of paternal twins. And then in the church that I attended in Wilson Lane, we had a set of identical twins. So I knew 5 twins. And they were all very close to each other. Well, the story in here, Rachel goes on and she has the twins, and of course, they're not good. The younger one, Jacob, puts his hand out first and all that stuff, and the scripture says that the younger one is going to rule and to be stronger. They're both going to be strong, but the younger one's going to be stronger. And in that culture, that wasn't how it was done. In that ancient culture at the time, when you had the children, the oldest son was the one that got the birthright. He was the oldest son was the one who took charge. When dad died, the older son would step in, take over control, because a lot of times those people, they would grow into communities, they would grow into tribes and whole communities of people, groups of people. And so it was very important that the older son take over. And here the scripture says, not going to happen. And the other part of looking at this is, you know, identical twins, are, like I said, they're a lot alike. Jacob and Esau were completely different. They were warring in the womb. And that's what Rachel was feeling, or Rebecca was feeling. And so it was like, oh, okay, something's not right here. Well, here they are, and the oldest one's, the youngest one's going to be the one that takes charge. And they're different. You take Esau. Esau was the oldest of the two. He was hairy. He was born hairy. And we see that in the delivery room every now and again. We'll have kids that are born, and they have like this blanket of hair across their shoulder. Well, he was hairy, and Jacob was fair-skinned, smooth-skinned. So they were different. Their personalities. Esau was an outdoorsman. He was called the man's man because he liked the outdoors. He liked to go hunt. He liked to do all that manly stuff, whatever that is. Jacob, not so much. He liked being in the tent. He liked being in community. He liked being around mom and the women. He liked to cook. He liked to cook. And it's like, okay, it took a lot of manly courage for him to admit in that culture that I'd rather stay in the tent and cook. Thank you. And so here they were very different. And as they grew older, they became even more different from each other, more distant and more set apart. They're just, like I say, they're just different from each other, and they grow more different all the time. So they're growing up in that time, in that culture. And Genesis 25, 27, 8 says, Esau was a skilled hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man living in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he was fond of game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Notice the problem now. Who loved Esau? Isaac, because he was the man's man. Who loved Jacob? The mother. He was a mama's boy. And so here we have a division in the family. And the division causes problems. Because what do we have? We have one who loves the son, Esau, and the other one loves Jacob. Division. Have you ever been around a place like that where it's divided? Let's take a stop for just a minute and evaluate our lives. In growing up, how many of you were the favorite? So you were favorites. I wasn't a favorite. I was just pushy, kind of. But my little sister, Judy, was the favorite. She couldn't do anything wrong. But she did. And how many of you were the least favorite? Well, we were all blessed and loved. Okay, so, you know, we might have been the least favorite. But we didn't have those same restraints that were there and in that culture of the time, because we've grown up a lot. Esau was a skilled hunter. And they grew up, and as they grew up, like I said, they became farther and farther apart. And at one time, Jacob cheated Esau out of his birthright for a bowl of soup because he was hungry and going to die if he didn't get it. And they went along, they got older and older and older. And pretty soon, they came to the point where Isaac, the father, was old. He was blind. He couldn't see. And he figured, I'm getting close for the time for me to die. And so he calls Esau into the room and he says, my time's about up. And what I want you to do, I want you to get your bow and arrow and go out into the wilderness and find me some wild game that I love. And fix it for me and come back and fix it so that I can give you the blessing before I kick the bucket. My words. And so Esau says, okay. So he gets his bow and arrow and he heads out. Rebekah is listening. She overhears the conversation. So what Rebekah does is she calls Jacob in. She says, Jacob, come here. Your dad's going to give Esau the blessing. I want you to get it instead of him. So you're going to go in and you're going to get the blessing from your dad. And Jacob says, Mom, have you noticed that Esau's hairy and I'm not? It's never going to work. He'll figure it out. She goes, nah, he's blind, he won't know. So she takes some goat skin, and he kills a couple of goats for her to cook, and she takes the skin and she puts it on his hands and the back of his neck. She prepares the food, and she gives it to him to take in, and he goes, then I'm here, Dad. I've got the food you want. Sit up so you can give me your blessing. And Isaac goes, who are you? Who are you? Okay, and he says, who is it? And Jacob says to his father, I'm Esau, your firstborn. Now, this is the first time that he buys into the deceiving. He's deceiving his father. And his father asks him point blank, who are you? That's like if I said to Richard, who are you? And he went, I'm D. It's like, most of you'd all look around and go, that isn't him. But he asks him point blank, who is it? And Jacob says to his father, I'm Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up so that you can give me your blessing. He flat out lies. I'm Esau, your firstborn. Isaac's not quite sold on the idea yet. And he goes, well, come here so that I can feel you to see if you're a hairy man. Well, they put the fur on the hands and I don't figure how that works yet. But anyway, he gets in there. So he goes over there and he feels him and he goes, well, yeah, you are hairy. And it's the voice of Jacob, but it's the feel and the smell of Esau. Because Esau smells like an open field and like game. And he says, so you smell like him and you feel like him, so it must be him. And so he proceeds to eat the porridge. Then he gives him his blessing and he takes him in his arms and he puts his hands on him and he gives him the blessing. And the irony of this is what Jacob has always wanted. But nowhere in Scripture does it ever say that Isaac loved Jacob. It says Isaac loved Esau, but it never says that Isaac loved Jacob. So here's Jacob. He's being embraced by his father. His father's praying over him, words of blessing, things that he's wanted to hear all of his life, and he's never heard it. And here he is, and it's a bittersweet blessing. Because he's always wanted to hear this. He's always wanted this. But he knows that it's being said for Jacob. And he's deceived his father. And he's getting the blessing of his brother Esau. And he gets through getting the blessing and he leaves. And the scripture says he no sooner leaves than Esau comes in. And he says, sit up, Dad. I've got the food for you. Give me your blessing. And the father trembles. And he said, who was that I just gave a blessing to? Oh, that was Jacob. Esau is very upset, very mad. In fact, he's so mad in Genesis 27:41, he says, now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing his father had given to Jacob. He said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. Now, in other words, Dad's old and he's going to die pretty soon. When he does, I'm going to kill Jacob for taking my blessing. And so Rebecca, the mom, overhears it and she says, Jacob, you got to get out of town. Esau knows he's going to kill you. I don't want to lose both of you in the same day. Take off, go to my relatives, stay there with them until he forgets what happened. Then I'll send for you and you can come back. Rebecca's the one who's always the one who loved Jacob. And now Jacob has to flee. So he flees with just a coat on his back. He leaves the comfort of the community. He leaves the comfort of the tent that he's so familiar with and used to. He leaves his mother, the one who's always loved him. And Scripture tells us that he never saw her again. And here he is, he's out, he's in the wilderness, all by himself. He's in Esau's territory that Esau loves. Jacob misses the tent, but he's out there in the dark all by himself. And in that culture, you did not want to be out in the dark all by yourself. Now, back in 1997, 8, 6, someplace around there, my dad had given me his pickup truck, and we used to go camping and fishing up at this place called Hobble Creek up in Wyoming. And I got a wild hair one weekend, and I thought, I'm going to go back up there, because that was such a cool place. And it had been years and years and years and years since I'd been there. So I got in my truck, the dad's truck, and I went up there, and I got up there just about a little bit before dark. And I pulled into the place where we used to camp, and it was different. Have you ever done that? Gone back to some place you remembered? And when you get there, it's like, oh, this isn't the same. All the willows that we used to cut for making marshmallows, roasting marshmallows, they were all gone. Only the pine trees were left. The little outlet where we used to go down and step on it to get water out of the river was gone. The river had changed its banks. It was different. And it didn't spur all the fond memories that I hoped it would. Then it got dark. Of course, being clear up there in the mountains, it was lots of dark. And you could see stars. And you could see stars. So I got out of the truck and I went down there, walked down the road a bit, and it was like, wow, look at the stars. And then I heard a noise. And it was like, oh dear, it's dark. And I hadn't brought a flashlight. And I remembered that when we were kids, we used to go out in the when it was dark. But Mom and Dad in the camp was right over there for protection. I hoofed it back to the truck and got in the back of the truck because it had a shell on it. And I had my futon in the back, so I went to sleep and spent the night. Well, here's Jacob. He's out in the wilderness. He doesn't even have a pillow. He pulls up a rock. He lays his head on the rock. And he goes to sleep. And in that moment, with his head on the rock, God shows up. And God blesses him. And shows him in a dream that he has plans for his life. That he has plans for Jacob. And what he's going to do. And isn't it true that in our darkest hours, those are the times when God's the closest, if we but look? That's when God is the closest. We're in dark hours, but God's close. Satan tries to distract us, tries to pull us off course, tries to convince us that things are not going well. There's a rattle in the bush. Oh, where's the protection of the tent when you want it? Where's the protection? But this is the turning point for Jacob. The story turns from rags to riches. He's out there with nothing but his cape, was what they curled in, and a rock. And he gets a blessing. And Scripture tells us that he goes on over to the relative's place. He finds a wife or four. He has a kid or 11. He becomes rich. He still deceives, though. And the irony is that during that time, the tables get turned. And he's the one that gets deceived. He's the one. And so the Spirit comes along and it's all well and good, but it's not home. Have you ever lived somewhere else and you realize that this isn't home? I lived in Washington, D.C. for 5 months. It wasn't home. I loved D.C., but it wasn't home. And so I called up. Hi. Hi, where are you? You ready to come back to work? Yeah, thank you. 2 weeks later, I was on the plane and I was home. I had a purpose for being there that God fulfilled. And now it was time to come home. And God says, it's time for you, Jacob, to come home and face your brother, Esau. And so he starts that worrisome trip back home. And he's scared because he remembers what? The last words of Esau were what? I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. And he's headed off to meet Esau. So what does he do? He takes his family. He's got a big family. He's got four wives, 11 kids. goats, sheep, all that fun stuff. He divides them up into four groups and he sends them on in different waves, thinking, okay, Esau will maybe capture that group or kill them, but then I have a chance here. So when he gets everything laid out and tells them all what to do and how to do it and what to say and all that fun stuff, he decides that he needs to be alone with God again. So what does he do? He goes out into the wilderness, the place he doesn't like. And he finds another rock. But he spends the night wrestling with a man. He says, let me go. And Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I'm not going to let you go unless you said, bless me. And the man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he replied. Isn't that the same question his father asked? What's your name? And he said, I'm Esau. And started the deception. And here this guy says, what's your name? And he answers, I'm Jacob. In that moment, what he's saying is, he recognizes that he's not the firstborn. And it's okay. He's not his father's favorite. And it's okay. He's not Esau. He's Jacob. And the guy gives him his blessing, and he says, and in that giving of the blessing, he is no longer called Jacob, but Israel. Israel. Now, we've all gone through things in our life, challenges and things that we've had. And did you ever hear the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Did y'all hear that? You know that we're programmed as kids to pick out lies when people say that? Kids know when parents have a favorite or when somebody picks them as the favorite. Even if you're an adult, we know that. And when people say that, things along this line, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. There's something in our brain that clicks into gear that when that stuff starts flowing out, we start recording. That record button gets hit, and we record away all those things. I'm going to kill you. And Jacob remembered that. I'm going to kill you. And that's what he's facing. We face that in our lives. And we have to, and sometimes we're Esau. Is that a good thought? That sometimes we are Esau? How many of you realize that sometimes you are? And we say things that are hurtful. And people say things to us that are hurtful. And that's when we have to evaluate. Because we get those wounds. And they hurt. And sometimes it's people that are close to you and love you that say it. And that even hurts more in that time. But we have to recognize the fact that it happens. And we need to get rid of it. We can't hang on to it. Amen. Sometimes we have to go home and face it. Jacob is going home. And he starts out, he's been, you know, puts his people out front, and he sees Esau, and so he sends out a scout to see how things are going. And he says, oh, Esau's coming. And he has 400 men with him. In other words, he has an army with him. And Jacob's going, oh, things are not good. Things are not good. And so they're coming closer and closer. And Jacob, when he sees Esau in the distance, he comes like this and he starts bowing to him. And they get a little closer and he would bow some more. What's he doing? He's admitting, I did you wrong. I messed up. I'm submitting myself to you for your forgiveness. Do we do that? Do we remember to do that? Or do we just kind of let it disappear into the closet. This has been a fun message to put together. It made me stop and think a lot about life and things that we do and the favoritism and that. And we need to make a pledge that we're not going to do that. We're not going to show favoritism. We're going to be encouragers. Because where those discouraging words can tear you down, blessings can lift you up. When Janet was here last week, we had prayer sessions right down here. Did any of those prayers put you down? Not at all. They lifted, they strengthened. And that's what we're called to do, is to pray over each other. To, if we messed up, admit it. Because that's what we're called to do. And there comes that time in our life when figuratively we're called to go home. We're called to go home. And when we're in those times when it's hard, that's when we need to hang on to God the tightest. That's when we need to hang on to the tightest, because that's when God is there the most. God looks for people who reconcile. And God's looking at you. Isn't that scary? Kelsey, God's looking at you, saying, do you realize I have a purpose for your life? Do you realize I have a purpose for your life? Do you realize I have a purpose for your life? Each one of us need to look at ourselves and say, God has a purpose for my life. And it may entail going to Washington, D.C. for 5 months. But then God says it's time to come home in here. Because some people move away. Yeah. There's lots of stories. They're in the scriptures. And we need just to read them or listen to them on cassette, like I do, and hear what they have to say. Because they're amazing. They're amazing. Genesis 33:4. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Esau had forgotten all about it, put it behind him. I don't know that he forgot about it, but he put it behind him. And he ran to greet his twin brother. And they both wept. Jacob still couldn't get rid of all of his old habits. He still went camp somewhere else. Because Esau wanted to travel with him. He said, no, that's okay. I got a lot of young goats and stuff here, and babies that just, they have to go slow. So you go ahead. I'll catch up. He said, well, let me leave some of my men with you. No, you don't need to do that. Why would you do that? You can take them. That's okay. We can find our way. And Esau goes this way. And Jacob goes here. But yet, Scripture says that they were in contact. And they did renew their relationship. God is so cool. God is so cool. So it's a challenge. Look at your life. Is there junk you got to get rid of? There's junk you got to get rid of? Get rid of it. Because it just causes scars and damage that you don't need. So, I want you to close your eyes. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to get out of what was just said? What do you want me to do? What's this calling you have for me? Would you pray with me? Loving God, thank you. Thank you for putting these stories of your people in the Word so that we can listen to it or read it or hear it or see movies about it, and get a better understanding of you and understand, Lord, that you're trying to get our attention so that you can tell us what the purpose for our life is. And sometimes that means fleeing, Lord. Sometimes that means going places that we're not sure we really want to go. Or once we're there, realizing that there is a time to come home. If not physically, mentally. Thank you for showing us what that is. Showing us what you want. And Lord, how wonderful it is. I ask you to bless everyone here, Lord, with insight into this word. To know what you want from them. Because I know, Lord, you're looking for people who will listen to you. Lord, help us to ask the question, am I listening? Am I responding? Am I being a part of your plan? If not, why not? If not, what needs to change? And then courage, Lord, to change it. Courage, Lord, to look seriously at our lives and see those things, Lord, that are not a part of your plan and cast them off like a dirty shirt and walk in your light and your glory and rejoice in you. In Jesus' name, amen.